Perfect. You got me now? All right. All right, we're going to look at trust and obedience today. That's it's been on my mind for a couple weeks. A lot of times I like to watch YouTube videos of street preachers talking to people that they encounter on the street. And a lot of times people, the preacher will ask them, you know, do you believe in God? And a lot of times I hear them say, I trust in God. They say, I trust in God. And then he digs a little bit deeper and talks to them to see what they really mean. But a lot of people say, I trust in God. It's pretty easy to say, I trust in God. He's trustworthy. Everything he said is true. So it's easy to say, I trust in God. When I was growing up, I thought about borrowing a car from my dad. My dad had a Camaro. And he never let me borrow his Camaro to drive. And there's probably a reason why he never let me borrow that Camaro. It's because he's seen that I wasn't trustworthy to borrow that Camaro, because I would probably drive it just like I did my old Mazda RX-7, which I wasn't real nice to that car. But I think about like my children. My children, they could borrow any vehicle they want because they were trustworthy with the cars. We would tell them if they wanted to borrow a car to, you know, we could give them some rules to say, you know, treat it nice. Don't bring it back all dented. Keep it clean. Fill up the tank of gas when you're done. Bring it back the same way that you borrowed it. Make sure it returns that same condition. And they would. And so they were trustworthy. They trusted me that I'd give them a decent car to borrow. And I trusted that they would take care of the car when they had it. But more than that, they were obedient to my wishes. If I set down some rules and said, these are the rules that I have for the car, to borrow the car, and if they did what I asked them to do, then they were obedient to what I had asked them to do. Which then that opened other doors for them to take advantage of or to have opportunities of. If they would have came back with a dented up car, out of gas and dirty and weren't obedient to my wishes on that vehicle, they would have lost the privilege of the vehicle. They probably would have lost other opportunities and other privileges that they didn't know were coming. There were things that if they were obedient to my wishes, then that would open other doors that they didn't even know could be opened. Same too with us. We're going to look through today that it's easy for us to say, I trust in God. And you could say if somebody asked you, do you trust in God? Yes, I trust in God. What if they asked you, do you obey God? Are you obedient to God? Are you obedient to His Word? That's another question all and entirely that we see in our community and we see in our world that people say, oh, I trust in God, but I'm going to live this kind of lifestyle. I trust in God, but I'm going to use this type of language. I trust in God, but I'm not going to follow the Ten Commandments. So there's a lot of things that you can see people say, well, I trust in God, but, you know, then they have their caveat on, well, I trust in God, but I'm going to do my own thing. So turn to me with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The first part is easy for Christians to say, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. That's pretty easy to say. I trust in the Lord. You read the scriptures, you read things that are true, and you know the promises that He's made. I trust in God. I trust in Him. What about the next part? Lean not into your own understanding. How do you take that? Lean not into your own understanding. It might be tougher for us Americans that we see we're a lot of hard-charging people. We go after something. We take control. We try to do it ourselves, try to accomplish a goal all on ourselves. So it's easy for us to fall in that trap of leaning on our own understanding and think, I can do this, or here's my boundaries. This is what I'm capable of doing. This is what I can do on my own. When we lean on our own understanding. The next part, in all your ways acknowledge him. I also wrote submit to him or obey to him. In all your ways obey him, and he shall direct your paths. So what does that mean? He will direct your paths. But you have to look at that with the part before it. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I take it as a simple meaning. If I don't obey him or I don't acknowledge him, he's not going to direct my paths. If I'm not going to acknowledge him or obey him, I'm not going to follow him, why would he give me the path or give me a straight path to go? He wants me to follow his path, not my path, not where I want to go, not the direction I want to go. He has a plan for me, which is his plan. So when I acknowledge him and submit to him, obey him, he will show me that path, that direct path. He wants me to be walking with him and not by myself. So if you turn with me to John chapter 14, we're going to look at a few scriptures today. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. Jump over to chapter 15. 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jump over to 2 John. 2 John, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Jump over to Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. This is a response to verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So those are just a few sampling of verses about obeying God. And he commands us not out of being a harsh disciplinarian, that he wants to set up impossible goals for us. He sets up commands out of his love for us. Just like with my daughters in a vehicle, the rules and the parameters I gave them for driving a vehicle were mostly out of their safety, out of safety of driving the vehicle. And it was for their own good, which they recognize that. But sometimes we don't recognize Jesus' commands for our good or for the good of others. And sometimes we think there are restrictions on us, and we think, well, why do we want to follow that? Because that just restricts me, or it doesn't make me happy to follow this rule, which our little finite minds can't comprehend what God can see globally and what the big picture of his goals are. We just see what affects us, and a lot of times we're selfish and what affects us and that this command is hampering me or something, but we don't understand the big picture. We don't understand God's goal. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow in our life. We just think about today. We don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow. Are the repercussions of our actions in a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 10 years from now? early on, I kind of came up with this philosophy when I would get mad at somebody or angry at somebody or something happened at work. In my mind, I would always think, is this going to matter in 10 years from now? And if it's not going to matter in 10 years from now, it doesn't going to bother me today. And I stuck with that I'm not going to get upset if it's not going to matter in 10 years from now. And so it served me well. I've seen a lot of people get angry over stupid things. And I'm like, why? Why are you losing sleep over that? It's not going to matter. But we see that God will give us commands. And as we read through here, there's things that are for our benefit and things that we don't even understand on why he's saying what he's saying. But he's talking about, as we read through here, it's out of love and our love for him that we want to obey his commands. We want to obey his directions. It's out of love. It's not out of anything else. It's out of love that he gives us these commands and asks us to do things. And as we read through the scriptures, we feel that the Holy Spirit tugging on our hearts to lead us in a direction. And that's because of his love. And he asks for us to be obedient to that. I wanted to look at a couple of verses just of disobedience. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. There's a couple of things that come to my mind when I read through the scriptures and I see disobedience to God. Most of the time, when we read it in the scriptures, there's a consequence to the disobedience. And the first one that came to mind is Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. This is after the Israelites were freed from the Egyptians. Verse 6 says, the Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give it, or to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So based on their disobedience, they did not see the promised land. The next generation seen the promised land. He still fulfilled his promise, but the people that were disobedient to him did not get the blessing of the promised land. I think of David and Bathsheba, that he was a man of God, but he was disobedient to God. He was disobedient to the Ten Commandments, and he fell with Bathsheba, had a baby that died. He lost his kingdom, and there were consequences of his actions of disobedience to God. I think of Jonah, the unfortunate incident getting swallowed by a whale, that if he would have been obedient to God, he wouldn't have suffered in the belly of a whale. But Jonah was being selfish, and God had instructed him to do something, and Jonah said, well, I'm not ministering to those people. You know, those are evil, wicked people. I'm not going to those people. I'm going to jump on the ship, and I'm out of here. Well, God still brought him around, and he still accomplished his goal through Jonah, but he had to go in the belly of a whale to get there. I think about Samson and Delilah, that Samson had long hair, and that was the source of his strength, that God blessed him with that. Well, he fooled around with a woman, told him the secret. She cut his hair. He ended up got his eyes gouged out, and he got chained to some pillars. He was disobedient to God. Now, I'm not saying that every time we're disobedient to God, we're going to be in this type of situation. But I'm just saying it has happened. There have been situations that God's brought people back, or bring obstacles in their lives to draw them back to him. So I think the much better path we can see with those examples are, be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 14 through 16. 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. One last verse. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the disobedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Who was that man? Who was the first man they're talking about? Adam. So since the time of Adam, man has been disobedient to God. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. So disobedience isn't out of the question. We're all disobedient in areas to God. That's just a given fact. We're all sinners. But through one man, through Jesus Christ, through his obedience, the one man made all righteous. We all have the opportunity. The world has the opportunity to come to Christ, to follow him, to become obedient to him. And he makes us righteous. His blood is the only one that can save us. His blood is the only one that can change us. His blood is the only one that can wash away those sins so that we can be with him through eternity. So even though we are disobedient children to God, and we can all think of things that, even if one sin in our life, if you can think of one bad thing that you did against God, disqualifies you from the grace of God, from the being in heaven for eternity, his grace through Jesus Christ washed that away. So you have the opportunity, I have the opportunity, the world has the opportunity to come to him to get those sins washed away, the disobedience that we have, he can wash that away and draw me nearer to him. So if you want to stand with me, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their hearts that they have for you, that they're willing to open their hearts among us to worship you. And Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you will fill us. And Heavenly Father, we know if we call upon your name and seek you and repent of our sins, that you will forgive us and we will be yours. Heavenly Father, I just have the burden for the lost in our community. And Lord, I know that this congregation here has the burden for the lost in the community. Heavenly Father, just ask that you direct our paths, Lord. Help us to be holy because you are holy. Heavenly Father, just draw us near to you, Lord, and point out those in our community that you want us to talk to, Lord, that you want us to minister to. And Heavenly Father, we know it's not our responsibility to save them, Heavenly Father, but it is our responsibility to preach and to teach and to minister to them and to love them, Lord. Heavenly Father, help us to be a light in our community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.